The following program has been paid for by Vital Ministries of Oskaloosa, Iowa.
Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries. It's good to be with you on this another beautiful weekend with the weather just amazing for this time of in December. And it just, I hope today even that you get an opportunity to get outside because it sounds like that weather is going to make a change. We're going to have a drop in the temperatures and we're going to have back to what I would call our normal winter in Iowa in December. But again, I just want to hope that you get out today and thank you for listening, being part of KBOE 104.9 FM on your radio. Maybe today you are traveling somewhere, going a distance to some place, and you have turned us on this morning. I just pray that you hold on and listen to what we have today. I think it's going to be a great inspirational moment as we look at our subject titled Too Busy for Christmas. But as you're traveling, just be safe as you're going down the highway. Maybe you're on your way to, as you're headed to church this morning. Again, we just want to thank you for listening. I hear many, many people will come up to me and say, Mike, you are part of our Sunday on the way to church, and I just want to thank you for taking time to listen to what we have to say. And maybe this is your church. You're at home today, and you are listening. I encourage you to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2 today, and we'll, if you want to take some notes, this should be some really, really good stuff, and I just want to thank you for participating in that as well. But before we jump into today's teaching, there's a couple of things I just want to bring out. First of all, it's the end of the year, donations, and I don't want to put anybody on a guilt trip by any means, and you get enough of that. They go from Black Friday to Cyber Monday to what they would, my understanding is Giving Tuesday. Well, I've never quite heard that one before, but hey, if it works, it works. But again, we don't want to put you in a guilt trip. It does take money for Vital Ministries to survive. It takes money to be on the radio. And if you would so like to give us a donation for the year end, if you have some extra that at the end of the year, we would love for you to participate. You can go to our Vital Ministries webpage and hit the donate button right there. And also, too, we have a P.O. box right here in Oskaloosa, another opportunity for you to send a check. And we have different things that goes on that we do in evangelism and in ministry, and this is just one of the ways that we take care of that as well, is that we're hope that we're a light in the midst of dark places, that we can send out the Word of God and hopefully give an inspiration of how the Holy Spirit works through our lives. And again, we would appreciate your donation. Also, too, we send out devotionals 6 days a week, both for the men and the women. And you can go to our Vital Ministries webpage, vitalministries.org. Check that out, and you can sign up. Also, too, we have an app that you can use as well. It can be on demand on your phone and sent to you every day. It's just a great opportunity for you to stay plugged in. Also, to keep you up to date with events and the different writers. So on the women's side, my wife, she does the majority of the writing for that. And it's just it's a nugget for the midst of your day. We have 5 writers that write for the men. Just some really, really good stuff. We have everyone from different age levels to even a person who is in Nicaragua, a missionary. And his name is Andy Baker, just a great writer. He writes for us on Tuesdays. But just some good stuff. And just would appreciate if that's something that you would like to do and be a participate in. Again, that's on vitalministries.org, our website, and you can get that app and get that on-demand, those devotionals. But we're going to continue our series, How Busy Is Your December? Are they filled with obligations or commitments? Christmas is the largest celebration around the world every year. Approximately over 2 billion people around the globe will take time to celebrate the Christmas event. It's not like other holidays. It's a day in which the event that the world will basically slow down for a minimum of a 24-hour period to observe the day as a holiday or to observe the day as the day of the birth of Christ. As I shared last week, my wife and I will travel to by airplane to Plantation, Florida to see my son and his family. And we'll take a flight early in the morning on Christmas Eve day. And we'll leave early in the morning. And matter of fact, we'll get there by noon in just a matter of a few hours. I Googled it to see how long it would take if I was to drive that by Google Maps. And Google Maps says this: it would take me 21 hours and 39 minutes to reach my destination. It's definitely, in my mind, not the way to go or the way to travel to spend 4 of my days in a car going and coming. But even the thought of travel makes me anxious, to be honest with you. It's a change of place, not sleeping in my own bed. I found as I get older, I like my consistency, my pattern lifestyle. And I know some of you listening would probably agree to the same things. We are people of patterns and creatures of habits, and that's just how we do life. But as I was preparing for this teaching, I ran across this poem, and it's called I Shall Not Rush. And I hope for a moment as we read this to you today, that you can sit back and allow the Holy Spirit to resonate. It's actually off of Psalm 23, but the words have been changed, and here's what the poem says, that I shall not rush. The Lord is my pace setter. I shall not rush. He makes me stop for quiet intervals. Then he provides me with images of stillness, which restore my serenity. He leads me in the way of affecting through calmness of mind and through guidance of peace. Even though I have a great many things to accomplish each day, I will not fret, for his presence is here. His faithfulness, his importance will keep me always in balance. He prepares refreshment and renewal in the midst of my activity, my anointing my mind with oils of tranquility. My cup of joyous energy overflows. Truly harmony and effectiveness shall be the fruits of my hours, for I shall walk in the pace of my Lord and dwell in his house. Isn't that a great poem? I think of this poem as fitting as we take a step away from being too busy this Christmas season. Today we're going to look at the journey of the visitors from the east, the magi, or the wise men who set out and followed a star in order to find a newborn king. Some would say the king of the Jews, but for you and I, it's King Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, the one who restores the very soul and the hearts of all mankind. And I sit back and I think about the moments of just that and the busyness of life itself, but God took a moment. He allowed his son to come down from heaven. And in the busyness of in my mind, of what it must have been. But he sees that mankind needs a Savior. So he sends a son. And I want us to sit back in the moment and just rest in that thought today. As we look at what it must have been like for the wise men. Yeah, many people will say it was 3. We'll look today and we'll see that we really don't know. It's unknown to how many of the wise men are. But we're going to get a glimpse of what it must have been as those men traveled in the journey, the pilgrimage, as they came from the east to follow the Bethlehem star that rose over Bethlehem itself to go and find a newborn king. So my first point today is this: follow the star. Now, if you have your Bibles with me and you're at home today, I want you to open up to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 6 as we get started this morning. And I'll be reading out of the NLT this morning. It says this: that Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and the teachers of the law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are not the least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people, for Israel." I don't know about you, but I really like how the story unfolds, how men were considered wise, were following a star in the sky. These men would have been considered to be astrologers. They would have probably been men from the modern-day Iraq, Iran, or possibly even Saudi Arabia. They were possibly yeomen, men of Jewish descent. We get this thought from verse 5 and 6, in which they quote the prophet Micah, in chapter 5, verse 2. They were men of great learning. The word magi comes from the Greek word magos. Our English word would say they were men of magic. In the time of the Persians, they were called Zoroastrians. That's an incredible word. I even struggle even reading it. But they watched the magic of the stars. They probably also were men of great wealth for which they brought their gifts. When I think about this for a moment, these men as they traveled and did their pilgrimage, the men, as they were studying the stars by night, noticed a significant change in the sky itself, and in especially one star in particular, the star of which we call the Star of Bethlehem, the one star that moved and rested over Bethlehem, and they followed the star itself. But here's the cool part of this portion of the Bible. They knew the star led them to the place of a newborn king. Nowhere do we read or do we hear they were in a hurry to follow the star. It would take them several days and even months, riding on the backs of possibly camels or even horses, to follow the star. They are in a pilgrimage of following the light in the sky. In March, my wife and I and other folks, we visited the possible site of Christ's birth in Bethlehem itself. Bethlehem is a Palestinian corridor in Israel. So we had to allow our Jewish guide not lead us as we went into Palestinian order. So we had to have a Palestinian guide get us in. Now the place we pursued, the place that we went to, was packed with what I would call extremely long lines clear outside the door itself. Obviously the church and many of those locations of anything that had pertained for Christ or holy places were built in those places. But everyone was funneled down to a 3-foot doorway at the bottom of a stairway. And due to having a small group of people and our time constraint, we were given a special pass to go to the front. You can imagine the glares and the pushing that occurred for us. People had been waiting for long lengths of time and hours. And now we finally got to the location in which you could put your head through a hole to the place of where the floor was of what they say of where Jesus was born, and you could kiss the ground of the probable site. People, folks, as I watched, actually did that. They stuck their heads through the hole into the ground and kissed the ground. And as they come up, they wept and cried out over the location. But for me, it was not that the case. I had a different experience. It was a place of honor, but I didn't see it as what I would call a place of the presence of the Lord himself. Yes, was it a possibility that it was there? Yes. But again, it's a probable site. And I didn't think that kissing the ground brought me any closer to God or to the presence of Jesus himself. But for the Magi, it was a holy moment. But I don't think they had a clue as what they saw in the baby in the manger. Yet they traveled hundreds of miles to worship a newborn king. In the Bible, the wise men run, and they run face to face with King Herod, Herod the Great, a man who is ruthless and an insecure leader. He's killed his wife and his brothers out of his insecurity notions that he has in his mind. He's been married 9 different times and fears all kinds of leadership itself. And when he hears that a king, possibility, might be born in his kingdom, he wants to kill him. His warped depravity and his fears lead him outside of any kind of possible value of thinking of what could be, that possibly that this newborn king could even be his savior as well. It says in verse 3 that the king Herod is deeply disturbed by what the wise men are saying. So he goes into conspiracy mode. So he calls a meeting with the leading priests and the teachers of the law to see if it's true that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. And he finds that it's true, and he tries to connive or sway the wise men to make them believe that he wants to worship the newborn king. So he calls a meeting, which brings us to point number 2 this morning, the meeting itself. And let's continue reading out of Matthew chapter 2, verses 7 through 8, and it says this: When Herod called for the private meeting with the wise men, he learned from them the time that the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me, so that I might go and worship him too. See, what Herod does next is surprising out of his insecure leadership. He calls a meeting with the wise men. Now he's in panic mode. He wants them to hurry. He wants them to find the exact location of where the potential king of the Jews lives. Now bear in mind, Jesus isn't no longer a baby in a manger, an infant. He's probably between the ages of 1 and 2 years old. It's not like the Christmas story that we see in which the shepherds and the wise men come up and they see a baby Jesus in the manger. No, he's a toddler now. He's a little boy. I have a one-year-old grandson whose name is Benaiah. We call him the lion chaser. But to be truthful, the only thing he chases is his mama. As soon as he gets out of his sight, he's bawling, he's crying, and only his dad might have the probability of holding him off at bay of the crying that goes on. When I was down in Plantation over in the time of August, I witnessed it firsthand, my grandson and his love for his mama. But we still love the little guy with all of our hearts, and we're glad that he's part of our family. Not a way that it was the case with King Herod. No, he's a manipulator. He wants to connive the Magi to go and find him so he can worship him. And I think the only thing that Herod the Great would ever bow down would be Caesar himself. King Herod's lineage he's not a full-blooded Jew. Matter of fact, his lineage comes from Esau, Jacob's brother, who is married to a Gentile woman, a Canaanite. And this marriage grieved Esau's parents, who were Isaac and Rebekah. And it's interesting how the marriage and the bloodline play out in the very beginning of Esau himself to the time of Herod the Great. That's why it's so important for Jesus to come from the right bloodline, the right lineage, the lineage of King David himself from the tribe of Judah. He comes from Seth, one of Noah's sons, to Abraham, to the lineage that comes all the way down with a promise from Joseph that it was prophesied throughout the Old Testament that his blood would come from the tribe of Judah itself. With all these facts, King Herod couldn't face the truth, so he tries to cut a deal with the wise men. Find him and come back and tell me. It says that after the meeting, they left. They go and define, but they're not in a hurry. They're not influenced by King Herod's manipulation. They're staying the course and following the star. We need more people today that simply what I call stay the course in their faith, to continue to read in God's word, to pray, and to live a life of kindness. We'll impact, in my mind, the world greater if we keep our eyes on the stars and knowing that Jesus will return from the heavens, and we forget that, don't we? Knowing that Jesus is returning. And it says in Luke 21-25 that there will be a sign in the sun and the moon and the stars and the earth dismay among the nations in the perplexity of the roarings of the sea and the waves. Folks, it's important for us to remember that the birth of Christ, but also to remember the Star of Bethlehem that led the wise men to following Jesus himself. But it's also important for us to know that he's returning again. And we, in verse 6, we still need to look to the stars like the wise men that give a sign of his return. As he returned back at the time of Advent, his first coming, folks, he's coming again. And it's time for us to again to make ready, even during the season of Christmas, that we wait with expectancy of the second return of Christ, not a babe in a manger, but as a Savior, a Lord that comes in the sky, comes from the heavens, comes and riding in the clouds, come riding on a horse. But let's continue. That's a whole nother story within itself. But let's continue point number 3 this morning. We found him, and we'll continue reading, starting with verse 9. It says this. It says, after this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star had been set to the east, guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. Then they entered the house and saw the child with their mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasure of chest and gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it's time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. It says that in this portion of Scripture, that they went a different way. But we'll continue that in a moment. But I want us to look at this story as the wise men first set eyes on the Savior himself. They continue following the star in the place of where the child was. And I want you to think with me for a moment how that must have been. The wise men that go, they have been on this pilgrimage. They have been on this destination. They've read out of the old prophets, out of the Old Testament, and they have followed a star. And now all of a sudden the star rests over Bethlehem. Now, many will say that the star was a meteor or an aster or whatever it might have been, but I believe with all that's within me that our God, the God who created the heavens and the earth, that created the stars themselves, can in fact create a star that would move men from the east to go and find the Christ child in Bethlehem. Folks, we think oftentimes in the busyness and the hurriedness of life itself. And many of us will have stars on the top or a different type of decoration over the top of our Christmas trees. And a lot of times as we go to our churches and we'll see the star, the place of the remembrance of what the wise men did. Folks, I just pray as we think of moments of as Christmas Eve comes within itself, that we don't forget the moment of the star, the pilgrimage, the journey that the wise men took of their gifts. And I think what greater gift could we give Jesus himself at the time of Christmas is to give us, to give our lives to him as well. The greatest gift, folks, that you can give isn't a gift of a monetary gift itself, but a gift of your own life, giving back you. I pray that we take time at this time of Christmas, the time that we set apart with family and friends, the time that of during the holiday season itself. It's not a season in which we just take moments of the hurriedness, of busyness, of opening Christmas presents and open up the wrappers and find the gifts. But we simply take the time to remember of what he's done for us, that he came as a child to our time in this life. That he came to our world, that God sent his son. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him, that we will never perish, that we'll have everlasting life with the Father and with the Son and dwell in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Folks, that's what the Christmas spirit is about. It's not the busyness of what we get caught up in this, what I call this pagan Christmas traditions that we do. Are they not good? Yes, they are good. There's some good things that we do in them. But it's not about the push and the rush that we try to go from here or there. You know, even as I take the time as I travel to see our son in Plantation, Florida, as we travel along the way, I can't wait to spend the time with my family as we come together as we celebrate the birth of Christ himself. And I pray that we have moments like that, the wise men. And I pray that you take the moment of maybe even on Christmas Eve. I pray men hear me on this. Take time to read the Christmas story to your family. Take the time to read and set apart in the hurriedness of life itself. Read the story that has impacted the world ever since, that has made the greatest contribution in the world has ever seen, of where the Father sent his Son. And I love the part of in the story where how the Holy Spirit intervenes, of how in a dream that these men, the wise men, had the dream itself. It says, starting in verse 13, that after the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. He says to get up and to flee to Egypt because King Herod was going to kill the Christ child. It infuriated Herod that the wise men had went a different direction, that they didn't come and tell him where the Christ child was, that he truly wanted to worship him. No, he wanted to kill him. He didn't realize that he was in need of a Savior and the very thing that he yearned for, because the materialism and all the great things. And I've seen the things that King Herod had built. And I tell you, folks, there's probably, in my mind, no man that did greater building in the time of his era of time than Herod the Great. But I want to tell you, folks, it's all withering away. The sun, the rain, the wind has deteriorated everything that he's built. The things that he held so tightly are vanishing. And folks, it does the same thing. with the gifts that we try to do, the things that we try to build, the things that we try to do, and the accomplishments that we try to make in this life will soon pass away. But what our greatest accomplishments can be is the greatest gift that we can do is give ourselves to Jesus and also to be gift to other people. Take times in the midst of our hurriedness to have moments in which we show simply kindness in the world that has incredible evil that is growing at a great, rapid rate. Folks, I pray that this Christmas time, as the visitors from the East, the Magi, the wise men who took time to set apart time to follow a star. Folks, I just pray that, what star are you following? What are you seeing in your life? Maybe you're like the wise men and you're on a pilgrimage. I pray that that pilgrimage takes you to Jesus himself. Maybe even at this time of Christmas, and we meet people who have hard hearts even during the holiday season. I pray that our kindness, even in the midst of their hardness, doesn't fall on us. That we take moments in which, as I pointed out in point number 3, that we found him. That yes, we have found him, and we praise the Lord for who he is and who he is with us. Let's pray this morning. Dear Jesus, again, I want to thank you for the opportunity to come as we open up the Christmas story in the busyness of the time of Christmas itself. I pray that today, as people today that are listening, maybe they're traveling, that they'll take a moment of time as they're traveling down the highway, that they reflect what you did, the price that was paid, not only to come to be on a manger, but also to take up a cross and to die for our sins. And that you're coming again, that there is going to be a second advent, a time in which you will return. And until you do come, Lord, that we make ready our time for you. In your name I pray. Amen. Folks, I hope that this Christmas season isn't a time of busyness within itself, but it's time of reflection, a time in which you take time out of the busyness of your schedule. Next week, we're going to talk about the busyness of the shepherds on the hill, the lowly men that were set apart, the men that were, what I would say, considered the castaways, those who were not recognized as being men of significance, but yet God sends angels in the midst of their life, and they go in hurry to find the Christ child, to set eyes on the newborn king. You won't want to miss next week as we continue our series, Too Busy for Christmas. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.